So hello, welcome. This is Erica Glessing. And my guest today is a comedian and a speaker. And you know what she says? She says, well, her title of her book pretty much says it all. Jessica Pettit, why don't you just say the title of your book so I don't mess it up?
Sure, it's Good Enough Now, How Doing the Best We Can with What We Have is Better Than Nothing.
And let's just chat about that. Like, what inspired you to get into that? What made you want to help people get into action before they, you know, had it all perfect?
Well, I was a diversity trainer, and I like to refer to myself as kind of an old school diversity trainer for about 12 years. And I was burning out because I wasn't noticing any change in myself or in my audiences. And so when I was contemplating quitting, I decided to kind of flip everything around and notice if I did something different, perhaps I would get some different results. And so I started paying attention and realized that instead of doing kind of external work only, it has to be paired with internal self-reflection work. And so I really started focusing on that. That led to the book and has really reinvigorated me and my work.
So when you look at like the comedy background, what was it that drew you to that? What made you feel like doing comedy?
I have always done, I've come from a very funny family that are storytellers. So I think that was kind of a foundation. When my father actually passed away, I was living in New York. Mm-hmm. And in his honor, I was trying to figure out something to do that scared me. And there was a class offered on stand-up comedy, and the final for the class was a 10-minute set at Caroline's.
No.
And that seems terrifying.
Really? That would terrify the hell out of me. 10 yeah. minutes? Nah.
So I took the class, and the judges of the final were like famous comedians to be determined. So that day, Chris Rock, Kathy Griffith, and Robin Williams judged our finals.
Oh my God. So you got to be at the end of a class, you got 10 whole minutes in front of some of the top comedians on the planet.
Yes. And then from there, I got picked up and I emceed a weekly show for about 2 years in New York. Uh-huh. And then I got to
was
work.
It like a improv or like a some kind of.
It was a stand-up show, primarily for queer women. So it was called The Lavender Lounge.
Okay, nice.
At the time, that was also, there were some fundraisers going on for the Democratic National Party because it was a presidential election. So then I actually got picked up to MC because they needed kind of a nobody to open and transition in between really famous comedians. So then I actually got to tour with some of the biggest names for about a year.
Wow. And which one made you laugh the most?
Well, I mean, they're all funny, but I think some of the biggest lessons, like when I worked with Robin, for example, everything he did was very, very planned. And so his plan and his work and his rehearsal and his intentionality allowed him to really look that spontaneous. That was a really big lesson. And then I think folks like George Carlin and Paul Reiser and some other folks really became kind of replacement father figures for me for a while, which really has led me to, I don't talk about it very much because I've been sober for 15 years and I've managed my own kind of mental health more successfully than some of these people that are really, really important to me, some of which aren't even here anymore.
Right. I think that whole thing of like planning so you can be spontaneous is really interesting as a concept. And I've definitely noticed that to be true in my own speaking, that the more planned I am, the more relaxed I can show up. It's like a very counterintuitive awareness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I think that most people can't imagine Robin Williams with an outline, which really just kind of proves the point, right?
Yeah, that was so interesting when he left the planet. As I'm in Marin, well, you're in California too. I just think that for me, the physical proximity to it even made it hit me harder than if I had, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was interesting, so close to here, and then also someone I'd known of my whole life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I'm ever going to get over that one, to be honest. I think I have, like, survivor syndrome, right? That I never got that famous. I got sober, and I'm healthy and well, at least temporarily. And I don't want to take that for granted.
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as if you look at the comedy, if you look at comedy, I mean, really, it comes out of pain. Like, it comes out of the deepest, most, right? I mean, so much of it comes from maybe being the fattest child, right? Or, right? Or being the one that your parents said would never make it because of this or that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So much of comedy, or maybe out of like being black in an all white, you know, school or something like that. Like, so much of it, the core of it seems like, even though it's comedy, comes from pain.
I think that the survival that's required to survive pain, in order for it to be contagious and accessible to others, is usually packaged as humor.
Yeah. And well, for those of you who need suicide resources, I actually do have an amazing author who just wrote a book, and I'm going to go ahead and name it here since it is my show. I can do whatever I want. And it's called The Different Levels of Death and Suicide by Wendy Terry. She's a psychic medium. It's a fascinating book, and it definitely gives people skills to help with the topics of when, you know, someone chooses to end their life. So I'll just name Wendy right now for resource for people. But I'd like to just chat with you, Jessica, more about your book. And you were telling me when perfectionists hear your title, they kind of get their back up. Tell me a little bit about that.
Perfectionist and capitalist. They seem to have the most, like, what? But, so I think when we're talking about good enough, like when I work with medical professionals, for example, I don't mean good enough in the sense of like left knee, right knee, whatever, it's good enough. Like, it's not about dismissing your responsibility for your mistakes at all. The idea of good enough is that I believe innately we are all good and we are all well-intended. And then I believe the enough piece is the tools that you currently have right now are actually enough for you to engage in conversations across difference that you're less likely to do because you think that you don't have the right vocabulary, you don't have the right collection of friends, you don't have the right education. So we just don't engage until we get to some magical place where we think that we're qualified. And I think that's actually one of the biggest problems right now. And that if we can believe that we're enough, then now, some of the time, we can do the best we can with what we already have. And some of the time is not 100%, so that's often scary for perfectionists. But it's also the case that there isn't a perfect way to be vulnerable or authentic or courageous or generous. And that it's more about those four elements than perfection or growth or expansion. It's more about trying. And if you can't try, then you try to try.
So tell me, for a lot of our listeners are sort of the reluctant entrepreneurs. They're the ones who really have so much to give, but they just keep taking classes because they're scared to, you know, make their own stuff. Or they're scared, like, stuff's already been done, so why should I do it? So why don't you talk to that sort of reluctant entrepreneur who's listening?
So, I mean, I think where the concept came from, literally, I was at dinner with my brother. Our parents passed away relatively young, and I was raised my brother, and for over a decade, I read books on being a sibling. I read books on being the eldest child. I attended Al-Anon groups, not because we qualified in any way for Al-Anon, but because it was specifically on family dynamics, because I was trying to be this older sister parent person left for my younger brother, and right. I was doing a great job. And finally, probably 10, 12 years into this, he and I are at dinner. And I was telling him that I had just finished reading another book and I was going to another conference and that I was trying really, really hard and that I felt like I was making progress in being a really good parent, guardian, sister to him. To which my mother said, you know, you have been my sister my entire life. Like, I don't know what you're preparing for. You already are. You could just like return my phone calls. And then I'm shocked, right? Literally.
Like, oh my God.
Call me. Like, that's good enough.
Wow. And
what I had underestimated is that while I was preparing to be his sister, I was being a bad sister.
Because you were working so hard on it.
Yeah. Just shut up and be a sister.
Wow. That's so beautiful.
So that's what I would say to the struggling entrepreneurs. Like, the bonus of being an entrepreneur is that you have the freedom and independence of working whatever 23 and a half hours a day you want to.
how do you know me so well? It's so not fair.
Do it, you know, like, try. It's the same thing people who like fiddle with their fonts on their websites. Like, just put it live. Yes, there are probably mistakes. There are typos in my book, right? Like,
right. Just, there's typos in all 50 of the books I published, I think.
I found a typo in a Harry Potter book once. That made me feel very good about myself.
Didn't it, though? Oh, my gosh. That must have just made you feel, like, awesome. Yeah, you can find typos in Grisham books. And there's a gobs of many in those books. Mm-hmm. I find them sometimes.
Yeah.
So really, I don't think the Potter book should have been written. If there was going to be a typo in it, I don't think they should have done that.
Ha 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 ha.
I know. I like making fun of these things because we do take ourselves too serious. And I think one of the fundamental ahas that I'm getting from this conversation with you, and her name, if everybody didn't hear it, is Jessica Pettit. And she wrote a book, Good Enough Now, on Amazon. Go grab it, because honestly, if you got more into motion today on your dreams and your passions, that would be pretty good for your future. I'm just saying. So, Jessica, what is the one thing like that really messes people up with this? And you probably already answered it, but answer it again just because I'm the host and you get to do it. What stops people from just doing something now?
They don't feel good enough. I mean, I know that sounds kind of repetitive, but ultimately when I was going to quit, right? And so when I started paying attention, when I paid attention to the excuses people use and the excuses I was using, really it boils down to they didn't feel like there was good intent. They didn't feel like they were qualified, or they didn't know what to do or when to do it or how to do it 100% of the time. And so they just stopped.
Wow.
The reality is that if we're all doing that, then all we have to do is try, you know, but I use an image in my keynotes that if you know that there's a house on fire and you're mowing the lawn because you don't know how to put the fire out, that's not the right response. And stop mowing the lawn. So even if you pick up a garden hose, it might not put the fire out, but at least it's the right activity. So have the conversation with the person you're avoiding. Do the thing that you're scared of doing. Just try it. And if you're scared to try it, then try to try it. See what happens.
I had kind of an epiphany within the last 24 hours. And since I'm precognitive, I'm guessing I was supposed to mention on the show today. So basically it had to do with wanting to be at, like, you know, luxury level and not being able to pay like the electricity bill. And it was this because I'm aiming for, you know, $8,000 or $10,000 a day, and then, but I'm not doing things just towards doing like $900 a week. And I'm not saying these numbers you can change to your own advantage, but I think that is a huge issue where you want to get here and you're pretty sure you can't get there by doing this. And so you do nothing. That's not going to help you get anywhere.
Absolutely.
Wow. This is great. I've had a really interesting conversation with you today, Jessica. What else would you like to just share with my audience? Any other insights?
I mean, I think that it's very easy to kind of dismiss the simplicity, but doing the best you can with what you got some of the time is actually a very tall order and a very frustrating expectation to have of oneself, because it's inexcusable to not do it. So that really would be my parting message. Do the best you can with what you got some of the time.
Awesome. Thanks so much for coming. Hey, what's the best URL for people to follow up and find out more?
They can go to goodenoughnow.com. And if they're interested, you can go to goodenoughnow.com/freebies, FREEBIES, and download a bunch of worksheets and videos and things like that with more information about the book. If you don't want to buy the book, you can look at information there.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming. Have a great day. Have fun.
Thanks.